Then turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I'm going to go back 4 months to something that I talked about 4 months ago. And if you didn't hear me talk about this, it was actually the first and second Sundays of October that I talked about being martyrs. And I talked about how I want you all dead. Do you remember that at all? Anybody remember that? A couple of people are like, yeah, I remember when you told me you wanted me to drop dead. No, that's not exactly how I said it. It was fun. It was intended to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, I suppose. At the same time, not really, because we were talking about spiritual levels. And one of the things that I shared that week was from 1 Peter here. And again, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always," everybody say always. "Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Everybody say meekness, and fear. Okay, now I'm the guy who wrote a book called Got No Phobia. So you may be thinking, fear? Well, remember, if you've read the book or if you've heard me preach it, and by the way, the whole thing is available. There's a 10-part series up in video and audio. You can go to our website, watch the little slides go by, and everything I've done, the whole book, the whole video series, the whole audio series is free right there if you ever want to get it. One of the things I say in the book is that fear has a lot of, you know, things that we need to understand about it because the way the English language works, and fear is the awareness of danger. Fear is the awareness of danger. So I have a question for you. Are you afraid not to witness? I didn't say, are you afraid to witness? I said, are you afraid not to witness? Think about it. Do you run in terror at the idea that you won't get to share your testimony? What if I said you should? We should be ready to give a defense. This part of this defense that he's talking about, this accounting of why we believe what we believe, this should be something that we do, and we should be afraid that somebody might miss it. We should be afraid that someone won't hear what we have to say. We should be in terror that we won't get to say, to share, to communicate what God has done for us. You should be shuddering when Mark gets up here and doesn't ask for testimonies. Oh no. So as I said, I preached this a while back. And I think some of you remember, and in those messages, I encouraged all y'all, everybody, nobody left out, all y'all, to share your testimonies. And today's text, of course, encourages that as well. I'm going to call today's message, More Martyr Practice. If the idea of giving your testimony freaks you out, I'd like to get you past that. And for some people, it is scary. And I'm not trying to, you know, again, no condemnation, invitation. This is not condemnation, this is invitation. Invitation, invitation into what God has for you, the more that God has for you. As some of you will remember, when I spoke on this martyr thing before, I shared with you that the word martyr in the Greek language, or the word from which we get martyr in the Greek language, is actually witness. And that's a big deal to understand. If you think it might kill you to give your testimony, that would be okay with me. I want you martyred. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because when we become the witness we're supposed to be. We become the martyr we're supposed to be. Not everyone who is a martyr dies. Not everyone who is a martyr dies. And I would like to think that most of us will be martyrs in our lives. And some of us might actually have to go all the way with our martyrdom. But most of us probably won't. I would like to get to the point where I'm afraid of not sharing what God has done. Sometimes I'm just too, what do I want to say, sidetracked. I got too much going on to think about it. And then when I think about it, oh, I could have done that. And I need to get that cultivated in my life, because there are glorious opportunities all around us all the time to witness to our faith, to let people know. I did it again at Chief yesterday. Went in to get something. What was it I was getting? I don't remember. Young man says that'll be so and so, you know, amount. And I stick the card in. Yeah, I use the card. You know, most of us don't carry the cash like I was talking about during the offering earlier. And everything goes fine. And he goes, have a nice day. And I started to turn. I went, oh, that's going to happen. And he looks up. What? Yeah, I'm going to have a nice day, because this is the day that the Lord has given me, and I'm not going to screw it up. And I'm not letting anybody else screw it up. And he goes, okay. And he didn't know what to do with that. But it was a witness to him of my faith, wasn't it? Just a little witness, just a little seed planted, just a little something. I need to find more of these opportunities. I really do. But I really think that, you know, checkout lines are a great one. You guys need to come up with some good lines for your checkout lines. One of my other favorite ones, though, is how many of you go into the places they did? Do you find everything you wanted? I've been trying to find a Christian one for it. I don't have one of those yet. But usually if they say, did you find everything okay? I say, why, you're out of leprechaun traps. Yes, your leprechaun traps are completely empty and the little buggers are running all over Milan. And they look at me funny and then they usually laugh. Because what else are they going to do? Here's a weird old guy. And I just have fun with it. I just try to get them to smile and just make them happy. But that always leads into, you know, just some grinning and some laughing. And then when I say what I say, if they say have a nice day, they figured me out. Oh, he's like that. Yes, I am. I am like that. When you share, when I share, when any of us shares what God has done for us, we grow personally. I don't know whether you're aware of that, but every time you put yourself out there, you put yourself on the edge of martyrdom. Every time you do that, you grow personally, and we grow the kingdom around us. We're scattering seed to those who need a seed. Who knows how many other people God may have crossed their path. You may be planting. You may be watering. You may be just, who knows what you're doing. Just giving a little sunshine. Just opening up to some fresh air. Something's going on, and we have opportunities around us. This was one of the amazing marks of the Jesus movement. What's the name of that movie that's coming up? Yeah, Rebellion. The Jesus Revolution, a movie that's coming up. Yeah, we've talked about it. We're going to try to get a group together and go see it when it comes out. And one of the things that marked that time was how all these people who had Jesus touch their lives couldn't stop from telling everybody else about how Jesus had touched their lives. It just was gushing out of people. Wherever they went, whatever they were doing, they seemed to find a reason to talk about Jesus. And it affected the whole country. I think we're due for another Jesus movement. How about you? How many think another Jesus movement would help some people? Do you think a Jesus movement could clean out Washington? Yeah. I do. I think another Jesus movement where Washington gets revival would be amazing. That's what I want. Where does that start? That starts with us. That just starts with people. Just regular people talking about what God's done for them. back when I talked about this in October, I called it martyr practice because you're practicing for what might ultimately have to happen in your life. We talk about being a martyr and nobody wants to be a martyr, but what if that's your destiny? And what if I get good at it? I get so good at it when they finally put a gun to my head and say something, like deny Christ, I'm like, nah, no, not doing that. Why? Because I've done this my whole life. I mean, I can't, I'm on autopilot here. Let me tell you about Jesus. Bang. I don't know if it'll work that way. It might be as I start to tell them about Jesus, they'll start to repent. It's happened before. So let me just do this with them, and I am going a little longer than I thought I was going to go. That's all right. Do you remember me telling you about working at Kroger? And I've said it a few times in the service here, and I've talked to the youth about it. And I would sit there with the guys, and we would talk about how many hours we got for the week. It was a big deal at Kroger to try to make the 70-hour club. That's what they called it, you know, where you worked 70 hours that week. And then, you know, people would be comparing, how many hours did you get? How many hours? 71, 72. There were even guys that did an 80-hour club. I never made the 80-hour club. I made the 70-hour club once, working of all places in the freezer. So cold. Yeah, it was cool. Good line. It was one of the first places I worked right out of high school. And worked there for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it was. I'm trying to remember. And they would have their paycheck, and I would be talking about my hours. They'd be talking. We were all got paid the same thing. We were union. So we weren't like, you know, I'm getting paid more than you. There were some old, I don't know that I was actually at the top of the pay scale. By the time I got done, I think I was. But bottom line was, you know, I wasn't showing it to, look how much I made. That wasn't the deal. It was just we were comparing hours. And then I would say, hey, see that signature in the corner? Remember I said this? And I'd say, yeah, you may think that that's the guy that got me paid, but I work for God. God pays me. I'm here working for God. Remember, I've talked to you about that. I've tried to share that story over the years to encourage people to do everything they do as unto the Lord. We should do everything we do as unto the Lord. And I was doing that at a very young age. And so I'm hoping that I share that testimony and others will practice that. Now, let me ask you a question. This is going to take it a different direction. Have you ever had a bad job? Okay. And have you ever had a bad boss? Mm-hmm. I started thinking about that recently after sharing my testimony. I had shared with somebody, I forget how it came up, but I shared the thing of, you know, the signature in the corner may say, I think the guy was Ken Saffel who signed it for Kroger. But he didn't, no. God provided for me. And then it dawned on me. I started thinking about my jobs. Started thinking about all the jobs I've worked on in my life. I had four different jobs before I started pastoring, after high school and before I started pastoring. So four jobs between the age of 18 and 24. And you say, really, that's a lot of jobs. Let's just say some good opportunities came my way. I had a job and then a better job came along. And I think that was the blessing of the Lord, quite honestly. I can't remember, let me think. I can't remember ever going backwards, at least not in secular jobs. I did go backwards a little bit when I left Kroger and went full-time pastoring. Yeah, but God provided. I never worried about it, never thought about it. The amount that I got each week was pretty small compared to what I had been doing at Kroger. And then after I served my first church, I had a period of time where I went back and did some schooling, and I had four more jobs during that time. Then I finished my schooling, and then the final job ended, and something bad was about to happen in that final job in that period of time. I was about to get fired, but I didn't know it. There was a conspiracy to get me by the general manager who was having an affair with the assistant manager of my store, and she was living with one of the co-owners of the whole company. And they were out to get me, to get her my management job, and that was about to blow up in their faces anyway. Because it was bad. And the Lord delivered me, and off I was into full-time ministry again. We're all in full-time ministry is the way I look at it. So God was always watching over me. And then I went back into full-time ministry, and I've been in full-time, quote-unquote, pastoral ministry ever since. But during my time as a pastor, I've been a tent maker a few times too. You ever heard of that term, tent maker? That's what Paul did. He made ends meet. And sometimes the church needed me to do a little something to help it, and I've never been afraid to do that. So on four different occasions that I can think of over my 40-plus years total now, I've worked while being the pastor someplace. So what if I told you that I've never, ever had a bad job, and I've 16 jobs besides ministry-related jobs. I've never had a single bad job, nor have I ever had a single bad boss. What would you think if I told you that? I got to thinking about it, and I've never had it. What? Well, there was potential for it to go bad. I'm not saying there wasn't potential. It just never happened. You know why it never happened? Because I always figured that God was my boss. If God is my boss, how can I have a bad job? Every job I'm on for God. If I'm on my job for God, God has put me there. That's where God wants me right now. If he doesn't want me there, he'll give me a promotion, or he'll move me or do something with me, which, by the way, he did. I went to the waterbed store working with a bunch of guys who like to go out back and talk to Ed. That was their way of going out back and smoking something interesting. And they left me on the floor by myself to handle the store, and I got all the customers. And the next thing you know, 6 months in, I was the first assistant manager to become an assistant manager 6 months in. They left me all the work. Those dirty rascals. No. Those stupid men left me all the work. And I was selling like crazy. I was rejoicing. I wasn't like, they go out back and smoke dope and I don't have to take care of everybody. No, I was like, gimme, 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 gimme. I was getting blessed. I did that at Kroger. Other guys would slack off. I worked harder because I wasn't working for Kroger and I wasn't working for the union. I was working for God. It really was my attitude. And I look back now and I go, wow, I had some guys that were kind of supervisors and all that, but it seemed like I had favor. It seemed like God blessed me. It seemed like when things looked bad, I would turn around and go, well, this is my opportunity. You know, if somebody else is working side by side with you and you're doing twice as much as them, guess who's watching? The boss. The boss. Will he not bless us? Will he not honor us? If things started getting weird at work, I just go talk to the boss. That's the truth. I'm not mad at any of you for not thinking of this and saying, yeah, I had a couple bad jobs. You know, I didn't even think of it. Like, I've shared that testimony, I don't know how many times, and then just recently went, oh, I never had a bad job. I never had a bad boss. Everybody I worked with, just everything, when things got weird, God would fix it. Now, no condemnation. This is invitation. Invitation. What if someone in this room or someone who watches this later is actually in a job where they just want to die? This job is killing me. Oh, they might be getting martyred. What if there's a witness that they can bring into that place, and as they bring that witness into that place, things start to change? What if as they act like Christians and do what they do as unto the Lord, by the way, your work becomes worship when you do it as unto the Lord. So you can have worship all week, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours of worship, and get paid for it too. That's pretty good. Maybe if we paid you guys better, you'd never mind. on Sunday mornings. I could never have a bad boss because God was always my boss. I could never have a bad job because I prayed about every job and said, Lord, help me. Get me into the place you want me to be in. And then when I was there, I wasn't there just to do the job. I was there to do his job. What was his job? To let people know that he was real, to be a witness in everything that I said and did. That's why I was there. That's what I was up to. That was God's purpose in putting me there. Someone needs to hear this. Maybe not someone in this room, but someone needs to hear this. Maybe you'll be the one who starts to act like this at your workplace. And suddenly, it becomes a paradise of the presence of God where he's doing something amazing. Is that possible? I think it is. It's a crazy idea, but I think it's possible. I wrote this down. You don't get fulfillment in your work. You get fulfillment in who you work for. You want to see the Bible for that? I got a verse for you. You don't get fulfillment in your work. You get fulfillment in who you work for. Here's the Bible verse from Genesis chapter 29 and verse 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. You remember that story? He made a deal with Rachel's dad. Dad says, you can have Rachel, but you have to work for me for 7 years. He works for 7 years, and time flew. Wait a minute. Do we experience that? What if we could? Here we are, back to that crazy invitation thing again. No condemnation, invitation. If you haven't been experiencing that, what if you could? What if you could go to work and all of a sudden work is like, yeah, this is awesome. They stuck me on the worst job in the plant. Woo-hoo-hoo! Watch me, God. I'm going to do this with joy. They're treating me crappy. Jesus looks down and says, yeah, they did that to me too. They're taking advantage of me, Lord. Yeah, people took advantage of me too, says the Lord. They took advantage of me about this much. Did you know you're Christ-like when you're being taken advantage of? Wow. That's radical. This is my testimony. When I share my testimony and other testimonies, because I've got testimonies, because the Lord's done a lot in my life, because I've been trying to do everything as under the Lord since I was a kid. And when I share my testimonies, it witnesses to what God can do for others. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. That's the point of a testimony. That's why I'm glad we had some testimonies earlier. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If we see what he's doing for somebody else, we start to think, what if God did that for me? And we start to look for God. What do you want to do for me, Lord? You might have better testimonies than me coming around the corner because you suddenly start to see what God's got for you and realize God's had you there maybe for years and years and years in that same old dead-end job. Maybe you're not in a dead-end job. Maybe you're just in a job that you're going to stay in until you get to the person that God wants you to touch in that old dead-end job. And he'll keep you there as long as he has to get that person because he loves them that much. Wow. But you can get a raise and a bonus and maybe a transfer if you get done what God's got for you to get done where God's got you at. Does that make sense to anybody but me? I'm excited about the idea. So this testimony that I've just given you about my life illustrates how you can be blessed if you hear somebody else's testimony. But let me say it also has illustrated to me how I can be blessed as I realize what God's done for me. The more I testify about what God's done for me, the more he reveals to me about what he's done for me. I've testified for years about doing the hourly paycheck comparison. But it didn't dawn on me until just recently, and I started looking at all of my jobs, warehouse jobs, sales jobs. I worked at different places. I had to quit one job because I realized I was cheating people. Yeah, it was a sales job. And I walked into house after house after house selling a $1,600 system that they could buy for $300 off of Sears. Didn't take me long to go, oh, I can't do this. Couldn't do it anymore. Lord. But I was a testimony to the people that I worked with. They knew why I left. Who knows what God may have done after I was gone. And I didn't condemn them. I just said, I can't do this anymore. At first, I thought that what we had was so much better than everybody else. It was worth $1,600. Then I realized it wasn't. I'll tell you what it was. It was water softeners. I was selling water softeners. And I was working for a company that was an affiliate of Culligan, and they were telling me how the water softeners made by Sears would blow up on people. And then I started running into houses testing water for people. We would call people up, cold call them out of the phone book. And I would go into houses, and I would find a water softener system from Sears that was 20 years old and hadn't blown up. One week I did that 3 times in a row, and I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. These people don't need to be spending $1,600. Which kind of explained why I got $500 per system that I sold. So anyway, I had to change. But God taught me things in everything I did. I never had a bad job because he was in charge. So again, I want to warn you. I will probably never quit pestering you about the testimony. Warning. I want you to have one. I want you to have a witness. I want you to have a testimony. I want you to have an answer for everybody who asks you why you're smiling. I want you to have a smile for everybody who needs a smile. I want you to have something going on that you can talk about and share with everybody you know. I want you to be that crazy person. I want another Jesus movement where everybody goes down and says, you know, they go into McDonald's and say, what would you like? Oh, I would like Jesus to bless you. And a number one. I don't want you to miss out on the blessings that we get when we do share our testimony, when we do witness to people, when we do make them aware of how God loves them. I don't want you to miss that. Is that okay? Are you mad because I don't want you to miss that? I don't want you to miss that. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. This is the King James Version, I know. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the key to the Christian life. One of the keys, but it's just one that I love. I just need to let myself not live about me, but let myself live for him. And as I live for him and die to myself, he gives me more blessings than I know what to do with. And he has, and I know he will. So I don't mind becoming a martyr. And a few times it has been hard to share something or say something. I get it. I've had those times, but they are so far removed from me now. Because I'm in such a habit of talking about Jesus that I just blurt it right out there without even thinking. It's just part of my life. Blurt. But if you want to be, your life can be hidden with Christ and God. And you can become a testimony to everybody around you. You can become a witness everywhere you go. And you can be martyred in a way that you may not have ever thought of it before. I was going to have Lisa Davis come up and share a little bit of her story. She shared a little bit of her story, and then we talked, and she said, how much do you want me to share? And I said, well, I want you to share your story. We had an interesting conversation about sharing her story and not somebody else's story. You have to be careful about that when you testify. You know, maybe somebody else is in your story and then you start to share their story and it sounds bad. You know, we want to share your story. And you know, we do have to know where people came from to know where they've gotten to. And Lisa's not here, but she wouldn't mind me saying this. When I first met Lisa, she had a lot less of a filter than she has now. How many of you know Lisa, what I'm talking about? Sometimes she says what she's thinking. Can you believe that? God has brought her so far. And so I said, just share some things so people will know how far you've come. I want you to think about that. I'm not going to ask for it today, but I want you to think about that. Some of you already did. I've got a little notepad over here that shows, I think, most of everybody who has so far come up and shared a little bit of, you know, I had you come up. You guys were here that Sunday because I asked Rich to come up and share a little bit. I had like four people that day. I think us getting to know each other, I'm going to keep asking toward the end of the service is what I'm saying. I'm going to keep asking people to come and tell us a little bit about what God brought them through and where God's taking them. And that's the witness that we share that we're not afraid of. And I'm going to ask more people to do that. I may not ask you if I have an idea that you're already, you know, more than freaked out about it. I don't want you to have a meltdown. But I do want you to have that glorious experience. The more you share, the more you can share. The more you share, the easier it gets to be in that place where you're less hesitant, until the point where someone asks you and you're like, I thought you'd never ask. Where you're hungry for it. Where you're afraid you might not get martyred to witness is what I'm talking about. You might not get to witness. I want to share my testimony. They didn't ask yet. Are they going to ask? We probably are at some point. So maybe next week. And by the way, do me one little favor. I love y'all. Don't come up to me after the service this morning and say, well, I had this testimony I was going to give, but, you know, I just didn't. But here's what it is. And then you share it with me and then you're off the hook. If you do that, you just volunteered for next Sunday. Just so you'll know that. All right? If you do that, you're volunteering for next Sunday. I'm just saying. You can share it with somebody else. They maybe won't make you get up here next Sunday. If you share it with me, you're up here next Sunday. You got it? And in the meantime, just find people to tell good things to. When God's done something good for you, just thank God for it in front of other people. And it'll become worship on top of a powerful thing that can change our world. I just wonder how many people are walking around with testimonies that they have no idea are like dynamite in the lives of people that they're in contact with. And they never realize that all they have to do is just go shh, psst, and start to share it. And boom! All of a sudden, those people will come into a new experience with God that they need to have. And that's something I want everybody to have. So bow your heads for a second. You've heard my testimony, and I want to pray for every one of you. And I don't want anybody looking around, so heads bowed, not looking around. Start with this. If my testimony today and this message has caused you to realize that you could probably have a change in your job status, can you just kind of nod your head a little bit so I'll know? Okay, I see a couple of heads nodding. Yeah, just we're going to think different now. We're going to think different. And maybe you're here. I mean, I don't know. Or maybe somebody watching. Are we still streaming? Yes, maybe somebody watching out there has heard this message. Maybe it'll be 3 years from now when they hear this message. Who knows? And you're watching, or maybe someone in this room, and you don't know Jesus. But now you've heard a guy talk about knowing Jesus at a level where it changes everything in his life. And I'm not, it's not because I've got some special calling on my life. This is God's call to all. This is God's call to all. Is there anybody here you've never made a commitment to make Jesus Lord of all? Anybody? It looks like, I think I know everybody here today, so I don't think that, but anybody, you haven't done it? All right. No hands went up. I think we're good. But Lord, if there's anybody that ever watches this message and they don't know you, I pray that they will admit that they need you, that they will believe that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you want to come into their life and change everything, that they will confess you as Lord and Savior, and they'll learn to depend on you, going and finding other people that they can be with so they can grow in that dependency on you for everything. And Father, for those that are here, for those that have listened to my testimony, and a lot of it was repetition, Lord, but I pray that this repetition will change our reputation so that we will become who you want us to become, that we will do what you want us to do, that we will love like you want us to love, that we will say the things that we need to say, and that we'll carry with us, Lord, a confidence in the testimony that you are the one who is the boss of everything we do, and that you aren't going to give us anything but good things, because all good gifts come from you. And so we thank you for it, Father, and we ask you to just touch each and every life in this room, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.